بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج، ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين، صدق الله العظيم. Friends and elders, Islam by its very nature is a practical, pragmatic and user-friendly religion. There is no command, injunction or tenet of Islam that is alien, foreign or strange to the human body. And if perchance, Allah forbid, we have reservation or apprehension on any aspect of the deen, be it inheritance, polygamy or otherwise, it is due to external influence that has obscured our view. Islam is practical. It has legislated concession in it. هُوَ جَتَبَاكُمْ, Allah says He has selected you. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, and He has not made the matter of faith complicated. Islam is not complex. And then the scholars expound and elucidate on the legislated concession that Allah has afforded us. بِأَنْ سَهَلَهُ عِنْدَ الضَّرُورَاتِ كَالْقَصْرِ وَالتَّيَمُّمِ وَأَكْلِ الْمَيْتَةِ, that when a person is on journey, then 4 units of prayer are reduced to 2. When water is absent, then sand is a substitute. When a person is in the throes of death and water is not available, then sand becomes an established substitute. And when a person is sick in the month of Ramadan, then he can delay his fast to after Ramadan. So in Islam, there is legislated concession. It's a versatile religion. And that is why Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ, Allah wants to unburden you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, Allah intends ease for you. Allah doesn't intend difficulty for you. And it is part of this pragmatic nature, part of this user-friendly nature of Islam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا رَهْبَانِيَّةَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, there is no monasticism in Islam. You're not told isolate, divorce, cut yourself away and live in your private enclave. No, no, be part of active society. Likewise, there's no celibacy in Islam. Someone said, marriage might have thorns, but celibacy has no roses in it. In Islam, marriage is an active institution. Huzaifa ibn Yaman, the great legendary companion, may Allah be pleased with him, who kept himself abreast with all the trials that will grip the ummah post the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to say, لَيْسَ خِيَارُكُمْ أَلَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الدُّنْيَا لِلْآخِرَةِ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الْآخِرَةِ لِلدُّنْيَا وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ وَهَذِهِ, the best amongst you are not those who forsake this world in its entirety to secure an abode in Akhirah. Nor are you the best of this ummah who abandon Akhirah in its entirety to establish an empire in this world. But surely you form the best of this ummah who can strike the fine balance. Life is all about getting the balance in place. And one of the most difficult of balances is the one involving responsibility and freedom. And that's the focus of my talk. Islam recognizes the fact that we stay on earth. The scholars say the greatest proof that Allah wants us to earn the things of this world is that He has impressed upon us to spend. The Quran is replete with exhortation to aid, assist and spend on others. And then the Quran categorically prohibits you from begging. So what's the balance between the two? We need to earn, we need to acquire. But what's the balance in fulfilling our role in this world without becoming oblivious of our responsibility to Allah? Hakim makes mention of a narration
on the strength of Umar ibn Qais rahimahullah. He says, Kana li ibn Zubayri mi'atu ghulam. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma had 100 servants and slaves. This was a great Sahabi, and he says he had 100 servants and slaves, which in principle tells us that if you have the amenities of this world, but it doesn't distract you from Allah, then this is fine in principle, provided it does not infringe, encroach, or violate on the orders of Allah. But it gets more intriguing and riveting, this particular tale. يَتَكَلَّمُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِلُغَةٍ أُخْرَى. Out of these 100 servants and slaves, each one of them spoke a different language. Wow. فَكَانَ إِبْنُ الزُّبَيْرِ يُكَلِّمُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِلُغَتِهِ. Abdullah ibn Zubayr had mastered 100 languages. You talk of bilingual, this was multilingual, or polyglot as they say. Speak to a young man today, he doesn't speak one language. And when I say he doesn't speak one language, because there's vulgar, there's obscene, there's foul language in it, a structured, dignified one language is rare to find in the average youth today. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma had mastered 100 languages. يَتَكَلَّمُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِلُغَتِهِ. He spoke to each person in his language. But then he goes on to say, فَكُنْتُ إِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ دُنْيَاهُ قُلْتُ هَذَا رَجُلٌ لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهَ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. When I seen the way this man engaged in his mundane things, skilled, competent, methodical, calculated, I would say this man has no religious interest. He has no religious passion. He's only focused on his material things. وَإِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ. But when I would turn my lenses and look at his passion for religion, his proximity to his creator, his diligence in the execution of the tenets of Islam, I would say, هَذَا رَجُلٌ لَمْ يُرِدِ الدُّنْيَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. Looks like this man has no worldly interest. So Islam advocates an absolute balance. There is a verse in the 9th chapter, 10th juz, verse 24. And that sets the tone for us to understand the yardstick and the benchmark of to what extent can we indulge in this world and what's the extent that we need to be connected with Akhirah. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ. It's a long verse. In a loose translation, say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in kana aba'ukum, if your parents, your father, wa abana'ukum, your sons, wa ikhwanukum, your siblings, wa azwajukum, your spouses, wa ashiratukum, your family, and I beg for your undivided attention, this is a very, very key, integral, and a very pivotal point. Wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha, and the wealth that you have acquired, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا أَي بَوَارَهَا, and your business in which you fear destruction or stagnation, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ is more beloved to you than Allah and His Nabi, then wait for His wrath.
www.tafsir.com The revival
they
of Iman.
They unpack this verse very amazingly. And they focus on this word, ahabba. Allah has not frowned or objected on you loving your partner or your spouse. Allah says, when you love anyone more than me, it's problematic. Love your wife, that's intrinsic. Be attached to your assets, that's natural. Love your child, that's part of your nature. And that's the versatile and the practical nature of Islam. It doesn't tell you shun and abandon. It's part of us. You cannot separate the two. But the day your love for anyone or anything becomes more than Allah, that's the time it becomes problematic. And if the tale of Abraham and Ismail conveys any message, then Ibrahim tells us, alayhi salam, oh my son Ismail, I love you, but I love Allah more than you. And Ismail alayhi salam tells us and tells his father, Dad, I love you, but I love Allah more than you. Now, how do we understand what do we love more? Time is very short. Simple explanation. You will only able to ascertain and establish what is more beloved at the time of conflict of interest. When both are in harmony, then it's just a sheer claim. I have two friends, and I say A is closer to me than B. But both of them have a harmonious relationship. So for now, it's just academic, it's theory. But the day they have a feud, and an argument, and an altercation, and a skirmish, then the person with whom I have my allegiance will dictate who is more beloved to me. You're in your business, someone dangles a candy to you. It's lucrative. You need the injection. You need the growth. It sounds in order, but it goes against the values of your teachings. It goes against the teachings of Islam. If you side with that deal and you take it on, then I'm afraid that is cancer and that's malignant, that is spreading in your entire body and that will erode and corrupt the entire society. But if you drop it and you focus on deen, then Allah and His Nabi are more beloved. So the focus is and the balance is, and that's my message. Love all the things that you have. And the scholars say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Hubbu dunya," the love of this world is the mother of all evils. The hadith means not sheer love or basic love or intrinsic love or natural attachment. It means loving more. Now, let me share with you quickly some incidents from Quran and hadith. The most telling tale in this regard is that of the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Allah says, and we had endowed David alayhi salam with a son by the name of Sulaiman. Ni'am al-Abd, he was an amazing servant. And I always say this here. You get a praise on social media, you acknowledge by your peers, you lauded by your community, but one acknowledgement from Allah as ni'mah, what has been incorporated where Allah says, you amazing, you wonderful, you brilliant, you awesome. That will outshine the collective accolades and plaques you can display in your entire house. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. Remember the time when purebred horses of the finest caliber were presented before him. So here the Quran sketches the image. It is the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. The horses are lined up. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا وَيَتَعَجَّبْ مِنْ حُسْنِهَا. He's looking at them. He's impressed. He's intrigued. He's mesmerized. He's marveling at it. And let me make a side statement here in the context of what has been said. Something that is beautiful, to be attracted by it, is a natural phenomena. Even a prophet is not exempted from it. So Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 22nd juz in Suratul Ahzab that, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now you cannot wed any other woman. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ حُسْنُهُنْ. Even if you are intrigued by their beauty. I'jab bil husn in academic language, attraction to something beautiful is natural. It's not extrinsic, it's intrinsic. That's our nature. So Sulaiman alayhi salam is looking, it's beautiful, it's amazing. Hatta ghafala an wirdin kana lahu min al-dhikri. But he got so immersed, so occupied, the time passed, the sun set, and his daily recital, he slipped up. So the first thing we learn, إِمْكَانُ الذُّهُولِ عَنِ الْأَكَابِرِ لَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا كَانَ مُسْتَحَبًّا. That it's human to err. What they say in English, we only make one mistake. The second is a choice. We only make one mistake. The second is not a mistake, it's a choice. As soon as he realized, as the Quran says, أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ. Oh, my attachment to this horse got me distracted from my Lord. I need to now address it. Now the love is becoming problematic because it's becoming more than my Allah. Rudduha alayya, bring these horses and purebred, fine horses. I don't want to go into the explanation of how the Quran elucidates and expounds on the nature of these horses. Fatafiqa mashan bisuqi wal a'naq. He then passes his hands over the shanks and the necks. Meaning he slaughters all the horses and he says, distribute the meat amongst the needy. We can't be part of an asset that is compromising my bond with my Allah. The second thing we learn from this, tadaruku sabab al-dhuhul bi ikhrajihi an milkihi. That the pious were those that when anything compromised their bond with Allah, they flushed it out. وفيه إشارة إلى كل محبوب سوى الله إذا حجبك عن الله لحظة يلزمك أن تعالجه. And it sounds a strong warning that anyone or anything or any relationship, when you realize it's compromising, as simple as making you negligent in the recital of one dua because of your engagement, it's time to part ways. But here comes the balance of Islam. ولكن ينبغي أن يعلم أن التدارك من شرطه ألا يضاع المال. But the beauty is that when you part ways with it, don't discard it or abandon it. This phone has kept you away from Allah. You don't have to break the phone. Give it to someone who will put it in good use. This laptop has taken you away. Give it to an organization. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, distribute the meat, slaughter it and distribute it. Then he made dua to Allah. Allah, give me such a kingdom that I become independent of these horses. So then Allah gave him the win. Now there's no issues dealing with the horses. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ. The narration of Muslim Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salah. And in salah, he had a garment, ذَاتُ أَعْلَام, which had some design on it. And if I can make an appeal here, if I can make an appeal, I beg, beseech and implore you, in any shape, form or capacity that I can, when you come to the house of Allah, be sensitive with the t-shirts that carry the logos of people who are not famous but infamous. Be sensitive to the sanctity of the masjid. We appreciate your presence in the masjid. We acknowledge you, my young boy, but be sensitive to the sanctity of the masjid. The Prophet of Allah offered prayer. فَلَمَّا قَضَى صَلَاتَهُ. When he completed his prayer, he said, اِذْهَبُوا بِهَذِهِ الْقَمِيسَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي جَهْمٍ فَإِنَّهَا أَلْهَتْنِي فِي صَلَاتِي. Take this garment and return it back to the man who gave it. It distracted me in my salah. I shudder to imagine what would constitute distraction for the Nabi of Allah. The salah of the sage of the age will be 1 million times lower than that prayer which supposedly is defined as distracted for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration is mentioned regarding Imam Abu Hanifa. My focus is love whatever you have. And I don't have to exhort you, that's part of your life. That's how Allah has made us. But don't love it more than Allah and His Nabi, then it's cancer. We all know Abu Hanifa as a jurist. But how many of us know Abu Hanifa as a tradesman? وَلَقَدْ كَانَ حَفْسُ بْنُ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ شَرِيكًا لِأَبِي حَنِيفَ فِي بَعْضِ تِجَارَتِهِ. Hafs ibn Abd al-Rahman was a partner to Imam Abu Hanifa. فَكَانَ أَبُو حَنِيفَ يُجَهِّدُ لَهُ أَمْتِعَةَ الْخَزْدِ. He would prepare some goods. They would deal in clothing and textile and garments. And then he would send Hafs ibn Abd al-Rahman on business ventures. So on a particular venture he went and he said to him that these goods and these clothing have some defect in it. So إِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِبَيْعِهَا فَبَيِّنْ لِلْمُشْتَرِ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ عَيْبٍ. When you consider selling it, inform the prospective buyer that there's defect in it, so we need to reduce the price proportionately and not deceive him in any way. Anyway, the man went and he sold the entire shipment and the entire container. وَنَسِيَ أَن يُعْلِمَ الْمُشْتَرِينَ بِمَا فِي الْأَثْوَابِ مِنْ عُيُوبٍ. And he slipped up. And after the deal was over, he said, oh my word, I haven't informed the people. So he came back to Imam Sahib and he narrated to him and he said, look here, this is the revenue, this is the money, but I must inform you, unintentionally, there was some deceit that was, by default, some people had suffered a loss. They bought some clothing and I did not alert them. وَلَقَدْ أَجْهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي تَذَكُّرِ الرِّجَالِ الَّذِينَ بَاعَهُمْ الثِّيَابَ الْمَعِيبَ فَلَمْ يُفْلِحْ. He tried at length, but he could not recall. When Imam Abu Hanifa heard about this, he لَمْ تَطِبْ نَفْسُهُ وَلَمْ تَسْتَقِرَّ قَرَارُ حَتَّى تَصَدَّقَ بِأَثْمَانِ الْمَتَاعِ كُلِّهَا. He said, I'm not going to be part of the revenue in which some people would deceive. Take the money of the entire container and give it in charity. Wow. Wow. 5 items were defected. The revenue of the entire container was given. Why this is now becoming more beloved? We move on. Time is against us. The narration is in Bazaar. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is sitting in the shade of a fortress. في ظل أطم من أطام المدينة. The Prophet ﷺ passes by. He says, غبر علينا ابن أبي كبشة. the son of Abu Kabsha. This is how they reference the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is in Bukhari. لقد أمر أمر ابن أبي كبشة حتى يخافه ملك بني الأصفر. It needs great detail. He has thrown some dust on us. So that was provocative, that was distasteful, that was not welcome, that was inciting, that was hostile. His son was a devout companion. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I heard the remarks of my dad and I couldn't digest it. How can I expect you to digest it? وَالَّذِي أَكْرَمَكَ بِالنُّبُوَّةِ لَإِنْ شِئْتَ لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِرَأْسِهِ. I swear by Allah who has made you a Nabi, just signal me or gesture me with your head and I will sever the head of my father and I will put it before you. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمَتِ الْخَزْرَجِ. My entire tribe raves about how dutiful I am to my father. There isn't a boy in our tribe more dutiful, but my father needs to know I love you more than my father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bal natarafaq bihi wa nuhsin suhbatahu." No, no, don't be harsh, don't be hostile, don't do anything drastic. We will be tolerant and patient and persevere the ill manners of your father. The point is, regardless of the situation, how many a young man, my good student Maulana Abdullah phoned me yesterday. He said, Ustad, please speak about the youth and the drugs and the crush and the fantasy and the infatuation. It has paralyzed our youth. The narration is in Zamakhshari. Abu Marsad Ghanawi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him to Makkah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, لِيُخْرِجَ نَاسًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Go help the believers and bring them out. So as he gets to Makkah, he meets up with a woman by the name of Anaq, with whom they shared a relationship. There was a romantic tie. There was a bond. There was a crush. There was an infatuation. He's a human. As much as he's a companion, he has feelings. You know, your childhood memories still haunt you. Some people have selected Alzheimer's. Short memory, but they can remember certain people very well. So he meets up with this woman. She says, Ala Nakhlu, let's have a meeting. He comes to Makkah. Things have changed in his life. She says, let's meet up. So he says, Wayhak innal Islam qad hala baynana. I'm no more the person you know. I've accepted Islam. Now Quran and Sunnah, Allah and His Nabi are ultimate in my life. So she says, okay, then marry me. This is a person with an emotion. It's not something you can just drop or exclude. So he says, well, I can't just do this. I have to consult with my Prophet. So he consults with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah reveals the verse. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. Don't wed the polytheist, even if her beauty mesmerizes you. She invites you to hell, Allah invites you to paradise. He said, sorry, we have no bond in place. Dropped it. Be it a fantasy, be it an asset, be it a wealth. Sayyidina Umar had two wives. It's the mother of your children. It's a year-long relationship. Your children, you need to have contact. The verse was revealed in Surah Mumtahina. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. And don't hold on to the bond of marriage with your non-Muslim wives. Jazakallah. Jazakallah for the grace, Mawlana Rafiq. So I got official grace. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. Don't hold on to the bond of marriage with your strange, with your disbelieving wives. Umar ibn Khattab had two wives who had not accepted Islam. When the verse was revealed, cold turkey, he dropped it. Qariba bint Umayyah bin Mughira and Umm Kulthum bint Amr bin Jalwal al-Khuza'iyah. Dropped it and moved on. That's the message. That's the message. And if we learn to bring this balance in place, who was that Sahabi, Rafi' bin Khudayj radiallahu anhu? They were dealing in business. And in farming, there were some type of transactions that they were engaging in. And they used to go in partnership. But at times, one of the partners would suffer more loss than the other. There are many detailed explanations to it. The long and short I'm conveying to you. They were generating great revenue out of this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has made this forbidden for you. The words of Rafi ibn Khudayj are most amazing. It needs to be engraved. Just not a plaque on a wall. It needs to be engraved in our heart. He said, Nahana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an amrin kana lana nafi'a wa tawa'iyatullahi wa rasulihi hiya anfa'u lana. The Prophet of Allah forbade us from something not harmful, beneficial. We know we were making money. We've seen it. We were turning it. It was a gold mint. We were making it. But compliance to the dictates of Allah and His Nabi is more beneficial. Take the incident of Jummah, like we have on the day of Eid, that the Salah is performed first and then the khutbah follows. So this was in that time where the Salah was first and then the khutbah followed. The Prophet of Allah is in Medina Munawwara. He has completed the Salah. It's the khutbah in process. And if you go in our masajid on Jummah, you'll be appalled. You'll be appalled. Leave the youngsters. That's part of their nature. The so-called matured, calculated, skilled in adults. The first khutbah is over. It's the latter portion of the second khutbah. Understand this. The first khutbah is over. The salah is over. While the second khutbah in its concluding part, a caravan from outside Medina comes into Medina selling basic vegetables and edibles. So while this is happening, the Sahaba are now caught up. If we lose this, we won't have our basic amenities. And if we move out, we'll compromise on the khutbah. So they needed to brainstorm and apply their mind. With the majority of them, and the exception of 12, they led the gathering. And they went to buy. Their salah was done. The first portion of the khutbah, the obligatory aspect, was concluded. It was the latter portion of the second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then modestly admonished them in the Quran. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they see business, commerce or trade, they leave you and they go head on. Tell them what Allah has is better for them. قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ than any form of entertainment or business. And Allah is the best of providers. And thereafter they became the nation, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةً. They were a nation that business did not distract them in any way. Sufyan Thawri said under this ayah, كَانُوا لَا يَدَعُونَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. They never abandon obligatory prayers or congregational prayer for the sake of business. My time is short, I'll be failing in my duty if I don't touch on the burning issue of Kashmir. Now, let's be real and let's be practical. For some of us, as long as we touch on the topic, we hands-on, we contemporary, regardless of how I make a change in my life or not, we need to get the scholars to speak, we need to mobilize the political entities, we need to do this, we need to do that. But in terms of my own life, there's little or nothing that I do. I can't help but my mind runs to a tale in the life of Umar ibn Khattab, and I briefly try and share it with you, and it ties up with my sentiments. That don't love anything or anyone more than Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the message from the life of Ibrahim. The ulama say, if Allah told Abraham, commit suicide, that would have been a lighter ask. That would have been a simpler task. Why? Commit suicide, it's a painful thought from the day you receive it till the day you execute it. Once you're dead, it's over. وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. But when you are told, take the life of your child, it's painful from the day you heard it, and it doesn't end the day you execute it. The trauma lingers even beyond. So the most supreme sacrifice that could possibly be taken from a human was taken from Ibrahim. Hence, the sunnah of Ibrahim is not merely slaughtering the son, but submission to the will of Allah. And the pinnacle manifestation of this submission was on this occasion. So here we have the narration. Umar ibn Khattab is in Medina Munawwara. Umar ibn As is in Egypt. Years have passed, they're not breaking through. Look around you, the political world. Muslims are stuck in certain positions geographically and challenged by situation for years. Umar ibn Khattab writes a letter to Umar ibn As. فَقَدْ عَجِبْتُ عَنْ إِبْطَائِكُمْ تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ مُنْذُ سِنِينَ. I'm quite surprised that you're grappling for years and you're not making any headway. I'm wrapping up, Mawlana Rafiq Sahab. And you're not making any headway. وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِمَا أَحْدَثْتُمْ. And this can only happen because you've changed your vision. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْصُرُ قَوْمًا إِلَّا بِصِدْقِ نِيَّاتِهِمْ. And Allah will only aid a nation when their intentions are correct. وَقَدْ وَجَّهْتُ إِلَيْكَ أَرْبَعَةَ نَفَرْ. And I'm sending four people to you. Zubair ibn al-Awam, Miqdad ibn Aswad, Ubadah ibn Samit, and Maslama ibn Mukhallad. وَأَعْلَمْتُكَ أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْهُمْ مَقَامَ أَلْفَ رَجُلٍ. And each one of these four represents 1,000. So I'm sending you 4,000 people. فقدم هؤلاء الأربعة على صدور الرجال. When you receive my letter, gather the people, ورغبهم في الصبر والنية. Tell them to change their intention and keep their focus on Allah. And let it be midday on a Friday when the rahmat of Allah descends. And then put these four forward. If they are as I hope them to be, I can't imagine you not having victory in 24 hours. And then when the letter came and he presented it and Allah gave them victory. So there was a time in this ummah that there were four individuals who were the catalyst to bring the mercy of Allah. Then things turned. In Medina there was a drought. And Sayyidina Umar then wrote a letter to Amr ibn As that I aided you when you were in crisis. Now we need your help. I'm ending Mawlana. I need your help. And then he said, Wa ghawsa. Wa ghawsa. See the footage and you'll know if you can understand this in a translation. He said, we desperately need your help. Umar ibn Khattab wrote to Amr ibn As in Egypt. He said, I advised you when you were in a crisis. Now I'm telling you there's a crisis in Medina. Wa ghawsa. So Amr ibn As said, Wa labbaik. Wa labbaik. Umar, wait and see how I respond. Before the sun rises tomorrow, I dispatch an army from Egypt that will be 1,000, that will have, the caravan will be so long, the first camel will be in Medina and the last will be in Egypt. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, in a nutshell I'm saying, the message we learn from today is, we need to respond and the balance that Allah has given us is learn the fine balance, and that is, love the things of this world, but don't love anything more than Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything that comes in the way between us and Allah becomes problematic. May Allah bless you with a great day, an amazing day. Let us distribute the meat. I said to my wife yesterday, we eat meat 3 times a day. Some people don't eat it 3 times a year.
Jazakumullah khairan.